The sedra this week is Chayei Sava, and while I at first thought that I was going to talk about Chevron throughout Tanakh, I mean obviously there can be no other topic but Chevron, I found that the topic of Chevron throughout Tanakh is a very, very involved one. There's a great deal that is said in Tanakh, many places, about Chevron. So I'm going to try and keep it at least down to Sefer Bereishis, and maybe more Ma'arat HaMachpelah than Chevron. Alright, let's first get down to the parasha. Parashas Chayei Sava. So we all know that at the very beginning of the Sedra, every child knows it. We've learned it from our earliest youth. We see ourselves together with Avraham Avinu standing over the casket of Sarah, and he negotiates in order to buy a burial plot for Sarah. There is a great deal to be learned from just looking at the words of the parasha. Well, let me start. Vayu Chayei Sarah. Mea Shana Esrim Shana V'Sheva Shanim Shnei Chayei Sarah. Sarah lived for 127 years. Atomat Sarah B'Kiryat Arba Hi Chevron. Sarah died in Kiryat Arba, which is Chevron. In a number of places, Chevron is referred to as Kiryat Arba. The name had originally been Kiryat Arba, and then the name really, it seems, was retained. It was one of the neighborhoods of Chevron. There were other neighborhoods in Chevron. There was a neighborhood called Elone Mamre. It seems that Chevron, we will see, there were people from the Amori living there. We have Bnei Chet. We're going to have different populations. Fascinatingly enough, different populations are living side by side in Chevron. Different neighborhoods. There are the landed and the wealthy. There are the Am Haaretz, the people of the land. All of them seem to be living harmoniously. Tomat Sarah b'Kiryat Arba hi Chevron be'Eretz Canaan, and Sarah died in Kiryat Arba, which is Chevron, in the land of Canaan. Vayavar Avraham l'spot l'sarav l'fkosa. Avraham came to eulogize Sarah and cry for her. Vayakam Avraham me'al t'nei meitar. Avraham stood up from upon his dead. Vayadabel b'nei chet le'mor, and he spoke to the sons of chet, so say. So he begins by speaking to b'nei chet. And he tells them. The reason why I point this out is because he's not always going to be talking to b'nei chet. He is going to be speaking to different groups of people. He's going to be addressing different people. He says to the sons of Chet, Gervetoshav Anochi Yimachem, I'm a stranger and an inhabitant and a citizen here. I'm a stranger, Rashi points out, came from elsewhere, and now I live here. Tenuli Achuzat Kever Yimachem, give me a burial ground, an inheritance for burial Yimachem with you. And I will bury my dead from before me. The sons of Chet answered Avram, saying to him, Shemo'enu Adoni, listen to us, my master. Elohim, you are a prince of God in our midst. The Mivchar Kvarenu, in the very best, the most chosen burial place, Kvarat Meitecha, bury your dead. Ish Mimenu et Kivra lo Yichlem in Chomik Vermitecha. There is not a nary a one of us who would withhold from you a place, whichever place that you may want. Vayakam Avraham, Vayishtachu l'amaharetz v'nei chet. Avraham got up and he bowed down. Now it's not b'nei chet alone. There is a new description that enters into the picture now. Up until now we were talking to b'nei chet. All of a sudden they are now described as the am ha'aretz b'nei chet. He's not really speaking to the same people that he had been speaking up until now. And we'll see in a moment why. Vayadaber itam lemar. I mean, I'm a little frustrated that you don't have chumashim with you. in the earlier when he spoke to Bnei Chet, it said Ger v'toshav anochi machem ve'egbara meitim milfonai. Now when he bows down to the Am Haaretz, it says Vayedaber itam lemor, he speaks to them directly. Earlier it said, the first time around, it said Vayedaber el Bnei Chet, he spoke to the sons of Chet. We always have to be sensitive to a change. Changes are not merely changes of style. If a different word is used, that means a different kind of conversation is being carried on. First time he speaks El Bnei Chet to the sons of Chet, which means him, them, negotiation. When he speaks to the Am Haaretz, the people of the land, the sons of Chet, it says Vayedaber itam lemor, he's speaking, it seems sort of he's speaking with them, not to them, but with them. And we'll see in a moment why. He says in Yeshet Nafshechem Ligbert Meitim Ulfanai, if you wish, if it is your will that I should bury my dead before me, Shmouni, listen to me, you figuli be Ephraim ben Tzohar, go ask of Ephraim ben Tzohar. Now, he had just been in the process of a conversation with the sons of Chet, and they told him, nobody will withhold a gravesite from you. You are the Prince of God. Why doesn't he continue to speak to them instead of doing that? I mean, he seems sort of to have broken off negotiations with them, and now he is talking with the Amharets, the masses of people, Itam. And he asked them, listen, do me a favor and speak to Ephraim ben Socha, v'yitin li, so that he should give me the Ma'arat HaMachpelah shelo, the Ma'arat HaMachpelah that he has, asher b'tzeif sadehu, that is at the end of his field, the kesef malai, I want to pay for it in full, yitnen only, let him give it to me, b'torchachem in yom yitz, lachuzat kesef. The fact is, the first response that he received, when they said to him, you are the Prince of God in our midst, nobody would withhold their burial plot from you. I mean, does that really indicate that they are doing it willingly? Doesn't it leave sort of the impression that, what choice do we have? You're the Prince of God in our midst. Nobody could withhold a burial plot from you. What one can sense over here is, if we'd have the nerve, if we'd have the chutzpah, then we'd say, no, go look elsewhere. There's something lacking in sort of the full willingness to give it over to him. I mean, you're the Nesi Elokim, we are overwhelmed. It could be understood this way, and it's possible that Avraham does understand it this way. So overwhelmed in his presence, I guess. You know, even a rabbi sometimes, a rabbi, yeah, of course, what is it you want, rabbi? We don't take ourselves so seriously, but you know, you do have this kind of response. I can't really refuse you. Which could leave the impression that if they would have just a little bit more nerve, they would indeed refuse it. So what he's really trying to do now is, he's speaking to the wider circle of people. What he really wants to do is he wants to start a movement of people who are going to assist him so that he should be able to purchase a plot for Sarah. So he asks them, speak to Ephraim ben Tzohar. I have my eye on a particular field. The Ephraim Yoshev v'tov b'nei chet, and Ephraim lives, he had even been appointed one of their judges amongst the sons of Chet. Vayan Ephron Achiti et Avram Ba'aznei B'nei Chet. Ephron answers Avram in the ears of B'nei Chet. L'chol boy Shad Iro. A third group enters the picture now. First we have the sons of Chet, and then we have the Am Haaretz, the mass of people. Now Kol boy Shad Iro. people who may be coming from elsewhere who have come into the city. We're talking about the people living in the periphery around Hebron. It's become now an issue in which everybody is involved. All right, we know the end of the story. He pays in full for it, 400 pieces of silver. The Malbim is the one who asks one of the questions that has to be asked over here. Why indeed are we told this whole story? Torah doesn't simply describe to us the minute details of events in the lives of people. The name of God is not mentioned in the parsha at all. There's a real estate transaction that is taking place. Why is this negotiation? What's so terribly important about it all? Why should so much time, so many psukim spent describing this? It could simply have said that Avram bought a Lemarat HaMachpelah from Ephron Achiti and he buried Zarah. Could it all been taken care of in one or two psukim? Why do we have to hear about all of this negotiation back and forth? So the fact is that the Mefarshim have there are a number of different approaches. The Eben Ezra, for example, says V'achakein, afterwards Kavar Avram et Zarah, Avram buried Zarah Umeyaz. These are the words of the Eben Ezra. Me'oz nitkayem asodel achuzat kever lo lezaro. From then on and further, this became the heritage, a place, a burial ground for him and his children. V'nizkur azot ha'parsha. The Eben Ezra says, why is this parsha mentioned? Why do we have to be told the whole story? Lahudia ma'alat Eretz Yisrael, in order to show us the advantage, the greatness of Eretz Yisrael, al kol ha'aratzot, over all other lands, lachayim v'lametim, for the living and for the dead. Parsha wants to tell us that it's a terribly, terribly significant thing to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. The Ramban says something different. Not only the Ramban is going to disagree with the Eben Ezra, and he's going to say something else. The Ramban says, Nechta v'zot ha'parsha, this parsha was written, Lahudia chazde Hashem im Avram. The purpose of this parsha was in order to demonstrate for us God's great kindness to Avram. Shehoyonesiyah lukim ba'aretz asher ba lagursham. He had become indeed a prince in the land that he had come to live in. It means that really what's happening now is a fulfillment of what God told Avram at the beginning of Parshat Lech Lecha, when he told him, Lech lecha me'artzecha me'vladecha me'vayesedicha va'avorech, I will bless you va'agad lo shemecha, and I will make your name great, says the Ramban. Here it is. These people refer to him as Nasi Elokim, the Prince of God. It means that after all of Avraham Avinu's wandering, leaving Ur Kasdim, coming to a foreign, a strange land, he finally makes it. He is recognized by the people all around as Nasi Elokim. Lahodia chazde Hashem and Avram, to tell us the kindness of God with Avram, Shahayon Nasi Elokim ba'aretz asher bo lagorsham. He was a prince in this land that he had come to live in, v'hoya yachid. He started out all alone. We're talking about a great success story. V'chol ha'am kodim lo Adoni, everybody refers to him as Adoni, my master. He never refers to Bnei Chet as Adoni, my masters. Never once. They keep referring to him as the Sielo Kim and Adoni, my master. They speak to him, you know, your highness, his excellency. He never has to address them in that way. The Gambachayav, says the Ramban, even in his lifetime, Kiyemlo, God already fulfilled that blessing, that promise that he gave him at the beginning of Lech Lecha, V'agad lo shemecha, I will make your name great, V'heyei bracha, and you will be a source of blessing. V'yishto meta, then his wife died, V'nigbera b'nachlat Hashem, she was buried in the heritage of God. V'od, the Ramban says, Ki rotze lahodiyenu mekon kurat ha'avot, this parasha comes to tell us the place where the patriarchs are buried. V'asher anachnu chayovim lechabeid mekon kavurat avotenu hakadoshim, because we are obligated to respect and give honor to the place where our patriarchs are buried. Rabbeinu Amru, Shekam Zemin HaNisyonot Shel Avraham. Our rabbi said that this is also one of his tests. According to some, the 10 tests of Avraham did not end with the Akedah, but they end now. The fact God had promised him the whole land to be yours. And in the final analysis, just to find a place to bury Sarah, he has to undergo all of these negotiations. Our rabbi said, Shekam Zemin HaNisyonot Shel Avraham. This is also one of the tests of Avraham. Shebikesh makom likbar et Sarah. He sought a place to bury Sarah v'lo matza, and he didn't find Adshe kana oto, until he purchased it. The Ramban disagrees with the Ibn Ezra. The Ibn Ezra is the one who says that to tell you how terribly important it is and significant to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. Lahudiyam malat Eretz Yisrael, al kol haratzot that Eretz Yisrael is greater than all of the other lands. Lachayim v'lameitim, to those who are alive and to those who are dead. V'od, the Ibn Ezra said two things. Number one, to point out that Eretz Yisrael is so terribly significant for the living and for the dead. And second, lekayim dvar Hashem liyot mal nachla. The Ibn Ezra also says that God already fulfilled for him and gave him a piece of land. He has a piece of land. The Ramban disagrees with the Ibn Ezra, and the Ramban says, kima malo la'odetz bazeh. What do you tell me? How do you see over here how the importance of Eretz Yisrael as a burial plot? What did you expect Avraham to do? Should he take her someplace else to bury her? She died here. If she died here, he buries her. Is that in any way proof that Eretz Yisrael is such a holy place to be buried? He's not going to take her to another land to bury her. And second, the Ibn Ezra had said that here we see already the fulfillment that the land is becoming his. Says the Ramban, no, cannot be so, because the land was really promised to his children and not to him. What is, of course, fascinating about this machloket between the Ibn Ezra and the Ramban seems to be making very short shrift of what the Ibn Ezra said. And the truth is that the Ibn Ezra was sort of speaking like a Zionist, right? The Ibn Ezra is saying, take a look, this parasha tells us what a holy land it is for the living and for the dead, and how terrific it is that Avraham has already begun to inherit the land. And the Ramban says, nah, the parasha proves none of these. The parasha proves none of these. So what if he buried her there? Where should he have buried her? He should take her someplace else to bury her. And the promise that the land is going to be his was not really to him, but to his children. What's fascinating about it is the following. One of the great, in quotation marks, Zionists of the Mefarshei, HaTorah is the Ramban, one of the great Ohavei Eretz Yisrael. All of them were Ohavei Eretz Yisrael, but the Ramban, it comes through in his parish time and time again, except here. The Ramban, for example, is one of the few who says that when there was a famine in the land after Avraham came into Eretz Yisrael, there was a famine in the land and Avraham went down to Egypt, says the Ramban, Chota Bazeh, he sinned. He should not have gone down to Mitzrayim. One of the few Mepharshim who condemns Avraham Avinu. The others see it as part of the test. No, he shouldn't have done it. Even under the difficult conditions that existed, then he should have remained in Eretz Yisrael. Which means the following. What's fascinating about this Ramban is you don't, because one has a particular way of looking at things, does not mean, therefore, that you are going to foist it on every pasuk you come to. If what moves the Ramban is his great love for Eretz Yisrael, he should have looked at the Ibn Ezra and said, wow, what a terrific Ibn Ezra. But that's not the way it is. When it comes to learning a pasuk in Torah, then you have to see what the psukim are saying.
and you have to be honest and you have to be forthright. Either you see that the psukim say it or they don't say it. So while one might have made the mistake of thinking that the Ramban is just going to find anything that's good about Eretz Yisrael, he's all for it. No, the Ramban doesn't see it in the psukim, and if he doesn't see it in the psukim, he's not going to say it. And therefore, the Ramban is the one who says that the importance of this parasha is to show one thing, and that is that Avraham Avinu had made it. He was accepted and received and treated as Nesi Elokim, the Prince of God. It means that what God had told him at Lech Lecha, that you're going off to a strange land, and you're going to start all over again, and we know exactly what it's like starting all over again, and ultimately your name will be graven. That's exactly what happens to our phone. That's what we learn from this parsha. Obviously, that's what we learn from this parsha, aside from the basic fact that Avraham Avinu purchased the Ma'arah, the Machpelah, and it belongs to him. There is a famous Gemara. So Gemara in Sanhedrin. Let me read the Gemara. It says the following. This was said to Moshe Rabbeinu at the beginning of Parashat Va'eira. At the end of Parashat Shemot, I will recall for you what happened. Moshe Rabbeinu becomes extremely upset with God, because here God had sent him to take the Jewish people out of Egypt. Moshe didn't want to go. And what happens now as a result of the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu has come to Mitzrayim? Paro has made the slavery and the bondage even worse than it had been before. Jews are breaking, falling under the crushing heel of Paro. So what does Moshe say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu at the end of Parashat Shemot? He says, "May Oz Bati Al Paro, from the time I've come to Paro, you made things worse for them. You didn't save your people." He's angry with God. Then God at the beginning of Parashat Vayera says that I appeared to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Says the Gemara, what is God telling Moshe? Says the Gemara the following. Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to him, Chaval al da'avdin v'lo mishtakhin. Never. Those who are lost and you don't find people like them anymore, how they come upon me, Nigleti al Avron, Yitzchak v'Yaakov. I revealed myself many times to Avron, Yitzchak and Yaakov, Kael Shaddai, with my name Shaddai, v'lo hiriru al midotai. They never questioned how I conducted myself. Never questioned. V'lo onruli, they didn't say to me, Mashimecho, what's your name? On Marti Avraham Avinu, God is telling this to Moshe. Moshe, you ask me what my name is, you have complained bitterly about what has happened to the Jewish people. And I appear to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and they never complained. They accepted everything. And the Gemara points out, I told Avraham, Kum hitalech baretz lor kol rochba, go through the land through its length and its width, ki lecho etneno, because I'm going to give it to you. I made that promise to him. Bikesh makom likvor et sorah, he was looking for a place to bury sorah below Motza, and he didn't find achekona ba'arba meyot zuz until he paid 400 zuz. V'lo hider al midotai. I promised him the land is yours. He had to pay in full just to find the spot to bury Sarah. And he didn't complain. He could have complained. The Bnei Shlomo, what happened to all of your promises? What happened to all of your great promises? Not a word. Not a word out of Rome. Amarti li Yitzchak, I said to Yitzchak, Gur bo'aretz hazos, live in this land. Ve'eheyem chai will be with you, va'avorechecha, and I will bless you. Bichu avodav mayim lishtov, his servants looked for water to drink below Matsu. They didn't find Acha Osu Meriva. The end was that there was great contention with the people of the land about the water. Shenem, as it says, Vayarivu, Roeh Groim, Roeh Yitzhak, the shepherds of Groh struggled and contended with the shepherds of Yitzhak. Leimar, they said, Lano Amayim, the water belongs to us. Velo Hither Achamidosa. Yitzhak didn't question God, didn't challenge God. Amarti li Yaakov, I said to Yaakov, Ha'aretz asher atah shochev aleha, l'cha etnena. I said to Yaakov, the land upon which you lie. Remember when he flees from the house of Yitzhak because Esav wants to kill him, and he comes to Har HaMoriah, he falls asleep there. God tells him, the land upon which you sleep, I have given to you. Bikesh makom l'ntoa oholo, he sought a place to pitch his tent, v'lo matzon, and he didn't find that shekono b'meo kesita. He had to pay a lot of money. He bought Shechem. He bought a little place in Shechem. He had to pay a lot of money. He never questioned. And they never said to me, Mashimecho, what's your name? Va'ato amartali, Mashimecho b'tchila. At first you tell me, what's your name? And now you, Moshe, tell me, Mahatzelo hitzalta, you didn't save the Jewish people. Chaval al da'avdim v'lo mishtarchim. Never. People that are lost, and you don't find people like that. You don't find people like that again. There is a problem with this Gemara. God is saying that Avram, I promised him the whole land. I promised it all to him. And then he didn't find a piece of land until he paid 400 shekel for it. And he didn't complain. What do you mean he paid 400 shekel? The fact is that Ephron tells him, you can have it. Ephron tells him in the parsha, you can have it. It's all yours. Because it says clearly, Lo Adoni, no, my master, Shmaini, listen to me. I've given you the field. It's Avram who doesn't want to take it for nothing. But is it offered to him free? It's offered to him free. So what's God telling Moshe? That I had promised, I didn't get any such response from Avram. I had promised Avram that the land is going to be his, and then he has to find a place to bury Sarah. So he has to pay 400 shekel for it. Who asked him to pay 400 shekel? The fact is that Ephron had offered it to him free. So how does the Rebbeim turn to Moshe and tell him, you complain, and Avram didn't complain? Avram, the fact is, had nothing to complain about. A simple reading of the parsha makes it clear that Avram had nothing to complain about. It was his choice that he didn't want it for free. He wanted to pay. In order to understand that Gemara in the Sechta Sanhedrin, I want to read to you a Medrash. It's a little bit of a frightening Medrash. And the Medrash is brought a number of times by Rashi in Tanakh. In order to understand the Gemara in Sanhedrin, you have to hear a Medrash. Amar Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu said the following. Harosha Hazer, this fellow Ephron, and he refers to him as a Rasha. Harosha Hazer, Dabron Hu, he talks a lot. Halvai Bidomim Yitkayim. I only hope and pray that if I pay in full for it, he's going to keep his bargain. Kol Shkein Matan is certainly, if he gives it to me as a gift, I'm certain that I won't hold on to it. I don't know if I will be able to maintain my rights to it, even if I pay in full, because this fellow is a Rasha. Lachain Omalo. That's why Avram said to Ephron, Ach imatolu shmoreini. If you'd only listen to me, Natati Kesef Hasada. Avram's response was the following. Avram said, Eini kovro b'makom chinam. Avram said, I'm not going to bury her in a place that I get for nothing. Shelo yomru habrios, so that people shouldn't say, Ke'ura hizu, this Sarah was an
an ugly person, Shakfilu Kvudalo Haitalot, that didn't even have the burial. The only thing I understand the Medrash is, you know, getting it for nothing sounds like you're burying her in Potter's Field. Right? The poor, the indigent, don't have a place, okay? So government bituach lumi pays, social security pays. So you got this, all right. No. He wants to own it. Now, the end of the Medrash is a frightening part. But we see already that Avraham is very concerned. I don't know whether this fellow is going to keep his word even if I pay him in full. I don't know if I'm going to maintain title to it. Certainly if I get it for nothing. Now, he will go back on his word. In addition to the fact, of course, that Avraham didn't want to bury Sarah in a place that was given to him. V'lo kiblu aleihem limkor lo. There is a negotiation that's taking place beneath the surface. And that's the frightening part. V'lo kiblu aleihem limkor lo. They did not agree to sell the Ma'arat HaMachpelah to Avraham ad she'omru lo, until they said to him the following. He shavalanu, swear to us, she'ena toyodesh et artzenu. Swear to us that you're not going to inherit our land. Shekvar yodanu, do you hear what the Bnei Chet are telling him? Because we know. Shehakadosh Baruch Hu atid liten lecho ulezarecho et kol ha'aretzot ha'ela. We know that God is going to give to you and your children all of these lands. Krot lanu brit, we want a treaty. We want an agreement. Shelo tirshu, here comes the frightening part of the Medrash. Shelo tirshu et ir Yevusi, that you are not going to inherit the city of the Yevusi. You know what the city of the Yevusi is? Yerushalayim, Haramaria. Do you understand? The Medrash is saying that Avraham Avinu received rights to the Ma'arat HaMachpelah only in exchange for giving up his rights to Yerushalayim, to Haramaria. If you think that it's only in 1996 that Hebron and Yerushalayim are related, it's a big mistake. The Medrash says that they made an agreement with him. You want the Maros HaMachpelah, you can have the Maros HaMachpelah only on condition that you don't take Yerushalayim. Your children don't take Yerushalayim. Krot lanu brit shelo tirshu et ir ha-Yevusi, make with us a covenant that you will not inherit the city of the Yevusi. The karat lahem brit, he made the deal. Va'achar kach mochru lo, after he made the deal, they sold him the Maros HaMachpelah. V'chein osu Yisrael, and Yisrael kept the bargain. They kept the bargain because at the beginning of Sefer Shoftim it says that Hayevusi Yoshev Yerushalayim Lo Horishu Bnei Yisrael. The Yevusi who live in Yerushalayim, the ones who held the old city and Haramaria, Jews did not cast them out of the land. Do you know who's going to take Yerushalayim? David HaMelech is going to take Yerushalayim. Rashi there and a number of Medrashim that say that the agreement that was entered into over here by Avraham was also an agreement that he had made with Avimelech. That for four generations, according to some, after they come to Mitzrayim, after they enter Eretz Israel, they're not going to conquer Yerushalayim. You understand what the Medrash has done over here? It has connected Yerushalayim and Hebron, but more than that. At least now we begin to understand Avraham paid a frightening price for the Ma'arat HaMachpelah. So when the Gemara says that Avraham had to pay heavily for the Ma'arat HaMachpelah and he didn't question me, the Gemara knew exactly what it was talking about. Because it was not only 400 pieces of silver that he had to pay, he had to enter into an agreement that he was not going to conquer Yerushalayim. If one wonders, and it only occurs to me now, you may be thinking to yourself, by what right did Avraham Avinu enter into that kind of an agreement?
Why did he give up the rights to Yerushalayim? Even if we will say that it was a limited period of time, why did he give up the rights to Yerushalayim? I mean, you know, one could say from this medrash to take a look at what kind of a price Avraham was ready to pay. What kind of a price he did pay. So, I mean, I didn't plan on talking about this, but as the question comes to mind, and I think it's a good question. I'm convinced that it's a good question, especially since I have a good answer. If I wouldn't have an answer for it, you understand, I wouldn't even mention the question at all. And if one of you would have asked, I would have said, it's a klutz kashen. Why does he make this kind of why does he make this kind of an agreement? Why does he enter into this kind of a deal? I have a feeling it may very well go to the heart of Avraham Avinu and the Akeda. Let me see how much time I have over here. I don't know. All right. I'll say it quickly. Later on, when Yaakov comes back from the house of Lavan, he comes into Eretz Yisrael. Rachel is pregnant. God appears to him and says, "Nations and kings are going to come from you. There's only one left to be born, and that's Binyamin." Binyamin is born, Rachel dies in childbirth. What did God say to Avraham? God said to Avraham, "Kings are going to come from you." That means they're going to be two kings from Binyamin. Remember, Shaul was from the tribe of Binyamin. Gemara says Avner ben Ner, who was the commander-in-chief of the forces of Shaul, was punished because he delayed the establishment of the kingdom of David by 2 years. After the death of Shaul, David should have become king immediately over all of Israel. But Avner ben Ner took Ish Boshet, the son of Shaul, and made him king. And he was king for 2 years. And the Gemara says that he was punished because he delayed the establishment of the kingdom of David by 2 years. And the Gemara says, why did he take Ish-Boshet and make him king? You know why he did it? Took a look in the pasuk. God says to Yaakov, kings are going to come from you. Who's born afterwards? That's Binyamin. There's supposed to be two kings from Binyamin. There was only one, Shaul. Now Ish-Boshet is going to be king. So he's right. He learned the pasuk correctly. So why is he punished for it? I believe there's a very simple distinction that we're going to see is at the heart of the Akedah story. Avner ben Ner is not a doctor. Don't play God. It's God who said to Yaakov, kings are going to come from Binyamin. Who made that promise? Who made that statement? The Rebbeinu Shlom did. I don't know if I have to translate this from the Yiddish. That's the best word. This geworden, the Rebbeinu Shlom's versorger. You're the one that's making certain that God's promises are going to be fulfilled. Mind your own business. God will choose whom he wants to be a king from the house of Binyamin. That was not a command to you. So therefore, Avner ben Ner is punished because he delayed the establishment of the house of David for 2 years. Avraham Avinu was told by God, take your one and only son Yitzhak and bring him as a sacrifice upon the altar. 3 days Avraham walks to the travels to Har HaMoriah. You think the thought is not going through his mind? Rebbeinu Shel Olam, you told me that Yitzhak is going to be the father of the Jewish people. He is the one who's going to establish a great nation. And now you tell me I should kill him. Is it possible that the thought crossed Avraham Avinu's mind? Listen, people do Avedas. Some people do Avedas. Occasionally. What happens if a person is going to do an Aveda, but do you know what the purpose of the sin is? To save the Jewish people. What would have happened if Avraham Avinu would have turned around to Rabbi Yisrael and told him, listen, God, you know that I love you. You know that I am completely devoted to you. But I can't do this. You're just going to have to accept it from me. I cannot take Yitzchak and sacrifice him, because you promised that Yitzchak is going to be the father of the Jewish people. I'm ready to take the Neveira on me, you understand? I'll take the Aveira. Why will I do this Aveira of not listening to you? Why will I deny you? You know why I'm going to deny you? For me? Not for me. So that the Jewish people should come into existence. Could there be a better reason to do an Aveira? I don't think there's a better reason than that. I'm sure the thought occurs to Avraham. Why does Avraham reject it? You know why Avraham rejects it? Because Avraham knows the following. The promise that Yitzchak is going to be the father of the Jewish people. Who made the promise? Who made the promise? The Jewish made the promise. His business to fulfill it. I have received an imperative, a command, take your one and only son and bring him as a sacrifice. My responsibility is to do my job, and it's the Rebbeim's responsibility to do his. He made that promise that Yitzchak is going to be the father of a great people. He's going to have to fulfill that. Man never has the right to assume for himself the responsibilities of God. The Rebbeim has to do his business, and I'm going to have to do mine. Avraham, therefore, is able to clearly differentiate in his mind the promise that Yitzchak is going to be the father of Jewish people. God made it, okay, his business. He's going to have to fulfill it. Just as the promise that there will be kings who will come from Binyamin. But the command to Avraham to take his one and only son and sacrifice him, that's a direct command to him. Then he has to do it. I have the feeling Avraham Avinu has the responsibility to bury Sarah. I'm forced into a deal where I have to give up my rights to Yerushalayim for some long period in history. Rabbeinu Shlomo, you promised that the whole land is going to be mine. That's going to be your business to fulfill it. My responsibility now is to bury Sarah. That's the price that I have to pay. That's the price that I will pay. You made a promise. I have confidence that you're going to keep your promise. Which means the following. What was the question? We have to keep straight the question that we were dealing with. The question that we were dealing with is, Ephron is ready to give the land to Avraham. Why does the Gemara in Sefer Sanhedrin say that, take a look at the greatness of Avraham. Avraham's great sacrifice, that here it is. He had to pay so much, 400 pieces of silver. He had to pay for the Maris HaMakpela, and he never complained. Not a word of complaint. And Moshe is complaining. The only way to understand that Gemara in Masechta Sanhedrin is put that Gemara together with the Medrash. Because the Medrash is telling us that there was another deal. There was a kapustel. There was an agreement that was made about Yerushalayim. And in order for him to be able to purchase the Maris HaMakpela, he had to give up his rights to Yerushalayim. It means the following. We now can also see the juxtaposition. Right after the Akedah comes the story of the purchase of the Maris HaMakpela. What was it that Avraham had said at the end of Parshas Vayera? That place. He says, Bahar Hashem Yeroe God. Do you know what happened to Avraham Avinu at the Akedah? His destiny and his neshama became inextricably intertwined with Har HaMoriah. That's what happened at the end of the Sedra. Can you understand the Nisayon, the great test that Avraham has to undergo right after that? After he has been at Har HaMoriah, after Har HaMoriah was most probably the peak of his religious experience, he now has to give up the rights to Har HaMoriah in order to be able to bury Sarah. Of course this was a tremendous sacrifice on his part. V'lo hirher acham idelzai, and he didn't question me. Avraham Avinu didn't question me. Interesting, in this, just the psukim, what a few words can mean. Here, it says, Atomat Sora, second Pasuk said, Atomat Sora b'kiriyat arba hi chevron be'eretz Canaan. And then it says, Va'acha Kain, in Pasuk 19, Va'acha Kain kover Avraham et Sora ishto. Afterwards, Avraham buried Sora, his wife, in the Maros HaMachpelah, in Chevron, be'eretz Canaan, in the land of Canaan. In this parasha, twice we are told that Chevron is Be'eretz Canaan. Chevron has been mentioned before. We know Chevron is in the land of Canaan. In Parashat Lech Lecha, you remember we talked about that pasuk, God tells Avraham, Kum hitaleich ba'aretz, go through the land, la'or kol la'or bo ki lecha et neneno, because to you I will give the land. Vayel Avraham, vayavo, vayeshev, ve'elone, mamre, asher, ve'chevron. He came and he settled in Elone, mamre, which is in Chevron. Doesn't say Chevron, asher, ba'aretz, Canaan. We know where he is. He's in the land of Canaan. There are going to be many other places where Chevron is going to be mentioned, and it doesn't say the land of Canaan. In this parasha, Vatomot Sora died in Kiryat Arba, hi Chevron, in the land of Canaan. Avraham buried Sora in the Ma'ara that is in Chevron, be'eretz Canaan. Why is Eretz Canaan tacked on to Chevron over here? We know that Chevron is in the land of Canaan. Maybe the pasuk should have said, in the Middle East. Chevron, which is in Canaan, which is in the new Middle East, the old Middle East, I'm sorry. Old Middle East. Why is it identified twice over here as Eretz Canaan? Because in order for Avraham Avinu to bury Sarah, do you know what he had to agree to? That for longer than he wants, the land is going to be Eretz Canaan. It's not going to be his. He simply had to give up his rights to the most significant part of Eretz Canaan. And that's why it's called Eretz Canaan. Let me take you from here to the last parasha. Parashat Chayisara. Listen very carefully. Most of these psukim you must probably know at the very beginning of Parashat Vayechi. Listen carefully. Vayikrevu Yemei Yisrael Amutav Yisrael Yaakov, the time for him to die has come close. Vayikrol of Nola Yosef, he calls his son Yosef, and he told him, Imna Matzati Chaim Beinecho, if I found favor in your eyes, Simna Yodcha Tachat Yerechi, put your hand under my loin, Vasita Imadi Chesed, that is, do for me, with me, kindness and truth. Al not Tigbereini B'mitzchayim, please don't bury me in Egypt. When I die, unesatani mimitzchayim, you should carry me out of Mitzchayim, ukvartani bikuratam, and bury me in their burial place. Vayomer, Yosef says, Anochi esek kidvarecha, I will do what you tell me. Yaakov tells him, swear to me, and he swears to him. Immediately before Yaakov dies, later on in the parasha it says the following. Listen to this, it's such a fascinating. I want that we should be able to compare and contrast two parashot. Vayitzavotam, he's on his deathbed now. He commands his sons, Vayomer aleihem, and he says to them, Ani ne'esaf el ami, I'm going to be gathered into my people. Kivru oti el avotai, bury me with my fathers. El hama'ara, in the cave, asher b'stei Ephron hachiti, that is in the field of Ephron the Chiti. Bama ara, listen to another pasuk. Bama ara, in the cave, asher b'stei hamachpelah, that is in the field of the Machpelah, asher al pnei mamre, which is near mamre, be'eretz Canaan. By the way, over here, Eretz Canaan is understood, because Yaakov is speaking to his children in Mitzrayim, and he's telling them, take me up there to the land of Canaan. Asher kona Avrom es hasodeh, that Avrom had purchased the field, made Ephron hachiti, he had purchased it from Ephron hachiti lachuzat koveh. Now, if you've heard this pasuk, do you know what we hear? We hear Yaakov Avinu describing the field. Remember, we talked about this last week. Last week when we discussed the Rav's approach to the burial of Sarah, of Soloveitchik. Here we have the opposite. Yaakov is speaking to his sons, and he tells them first, I want you to bury me in the Ma'arah, and it's in the field of the Machpelah, near Mamre, that Avraham had bought, not only the cave, but the field as well, from Ephron, La'achuzat Kavar. And Yaakov goes on to say, Shoma Kavru es Avraham ves Sarah Ishto, there they buried Avraham and his wife Sarah. Shoma Kavru es Yitzchak ves Rivka Ishto, there they buried Yitzchak and Rivka, his wife. The Shoma Kavarti et Leo, there I buried Leo. The last words to come out of Yaakov Avinu's mouth, according to the Torah, this little pasuk, Mikne HaSadeh, the purchase of the field, Vahamo Ora Asher Bo, and the cave that is in it, Me'et b'nei Chet, from the sons of Chet. Vayechal Yaakov l'tzavot, and Banav Yaakov finished commanding his children, Vayesof raglov alamita, he gathered his feet into the bed vayikva, and he passed on Vayesef alamav. You will, alright, I want to compare this, first of all, to the beginning of Parshat Vayechi. At the beginning of Parshat Vayechi, Yaakov is speaking to Yosef, doesn't tell him anything about the Ma'arav, the field, Chevron, Mamre, Eretz Canaan, not a word. All that he says is, Ukvartani Bikvratan, bury me in the burial place of my fathers. Doesn't describe the place, doesn't say that a purchase was made, doesn't say who it was purchased from, doesn't describe the area. When Yaakov is speaking to his children, what a description we have! Real legalese. This is really a repeat of the entire contract that appears here in Parshat Chayisara. Why does Yaakov speak in, it seems, in two languages? He speaks to Yosef one way, and he speaks to the others in another way. Why doesn't he tell Yosef where to bury him? Why doesn't he tell him about the field? Why doesn't he tell him about the purchase? Why doesn't he tell him about the Baruch HaPel? Why doesn't he tell him that Avram and Sarah and Yitzchak and Rivka and Leah are buried there? Why doesn't he say anything any of this to Yosef? It seems that Yaakov Avinu really is concerned. He has one concern for Yosef, and there is another concern that he has for the rest of his children. What Yaakov Avinu is concerned about with regard to Yosef is that Yosef may look at Mitzrayim, if not as his first home, certainly his second home. Yosef has become the great success. He's the greatest success story of them all. Despised, rejected by his brothers, sold into slavery, framed by the wife of Potiphar, thrown into prison. Miraculously, he makes the meteoric rise from slavery to become the father, the ruler of all of Egypt. The story of Yosef. It's exceptional, it's outstanding. Do you know what it really means? Mitzrayim has been a very, very good place for Yosef. Yosef can really feel he made a success of this whole Mitzrayim episode. He came from the depths of despair and loneliness to the heights, to the dizzying and intoxicating heights of being the ruler of all of Egypt. Yaakov is concerned. He knows that Yosef has great Ahas Eretz Yisrael, Yosef is the one who says, Ivri, I come from the land of the Ivrim. How was he described as Nar Ivri? You could see it written all over him. But Yosef, Yaakov is concerned that Yosef might in some way, someday see Mitzrayim as a second homeland. So do you know what Yaakov tells Yosef? And this, of course, is one who studies Parsha Vayechi sees the wisdom of Yaakov, his understanding of each one of his children, their strengths and their weaknesses, the blessings that he gives them. He is able to describe them well. He understands them well. He knows exactly what each one should do. You know what he's concerned with regard to Yosef? That Yosef should never, never feel an affinity to the land of Mitzrayim. So you know what he says to Yosef? Twice. Twice he says, I'm about to die. You know what he says to him? V'shochavti avotai sisoi modi chesed v'emes. You should do kindness and truth with me. Al na tigbereini b'mitzrayim. Please don't bury me in Egypt. V'shochavti avotai, when I die, unesatani b'mitzrayim, carry me out of Mitzrayim. Do you know what Yaakov is telling Yosef? The extent to which he despises Mitzrayim. The message to Yosef is, get me out of here. I don't want to be here. All that he tells him about where he's to be buried, he has to tell him something. So he tells him, Ukartani bikuratam, bury me where my fathers are buried. It's not important to Yaakov to tell Yosef where. What he wants Yosef to understand is the following. Mitzrayim, I want out of here. Take me out of here. The fact is, of course, he succeeds admirably well. How does Parshat Vayechi and Sefer Bereishis end? Where Yosef makes his children promise that when they leave Mitzrayim, they're going to take him out and bury him in Eretz Yisrael. The brothers there, Yaakov has a different concern. Do you know what his concern about the brothers is? Not that they will necessarily see Mitzrayim as a second homeland. He is concerned that with the passage of time, they're going to forget Eretz Canaan. They're going to forget Eretz Israel. Mitzrayim is not necessarily going to be a very, very pleasant experience for them. Do you know what he's afraid with his God to his children? They will become citizens of the world. No place will be theirs. To them he has to give a completely different message. The message that he has to give to his children is the Tatis and the Mamis are buried in Eretz Canaan. And we bought it fair and square. It's ours. Do you know what he keeps telling his children? Your place is Eretz Yisrael. That's the place. He's not worried about Yosef. Yosef is a great Ohev Eretz Yisrael. But with Yosef he's concerned that you can never tell how this Egyptophile feeling can be. Comes, you know, loves Egypt. But with the brothers he's concerned about something completely different, that they will not feel at home anywhere. They will forget Eretz Yisrael completely. And therefore, he commands them, I'm going to be gathered to my people. Kivru oti al avotai. The first thing he says, bury me with my fathers. I want to be with my fathers. He most probably wants that they should have the experience, all of them, of going to Eretz Yisrael. He wants them to go. El hama'ara. And here, the Malbim is very... Let me just read the Malbim on these psukim. The Malbim says the following. They have to know all the details of the sale because Yaakov is afraid they may have forgotten. They don't know. They have to know the facts. They're going to go up there to bury him. They have to know all the details of this sale. Who I bought it from. What precisely did I buy? Where is it situated? You will also recall last week when I told you what Rav Soloveitchik says on the Parsha. Rav Soloveitchik makes a great deal of the fact that the status of the Ma'arat HaMachpelah changes twice. In Parshat Vayechi, first it says, in Parshat Vayechi, what does it say first? Vayokom HaSodeh, the field of Ephron, Asher B'Machpelah, Lefnei Mamre, became La'Avroham L'Mikne. The first thing it says is that it became something that was purchased by Abraham. And there we have the whole description exactly of the field and the trees and the whole boundary around it. And then the pasuk says that Avram buried Sarah. Then the pasuk says again, "Vayokum hasod Avram or Ashavol Avram." The field now went through a second change of status, and the change of status now is it becomes achuzat kever. It becomes a heritage, a grave site for all the family. When Yaakov speaks to his children, everything is done precisely in the opposite manner. What was that last pasuk? The last pasuk he said to them was Mikne Hasadah, the purchase of the field v'hamaora ashepaho, and the cave that's in it may eat b'nei cake. Those are his last dying words. After that he dies. Yaakov has turned everything around. In the Seder it says that first Avraham makes the legal transfer of land, and only afterwards he buries his wife there. Then it becomes an achuzat kever. Yaakov is already speaking after the fact. Yaakov is speaking about a place that is already an achuzat kever. So therefore when he speaks to them, he tells them, bury me with my fathers. Because that whole land, that whole piece, is the place where Avraham and Sarah were buried, in Yitzhak and Rivka, and there I buried Leah. For him, it is kever avos. And that's what he wants his children to know first of all. That's kever avos. That's where the family burial site is. But do you know what? The sons may someday be told, you didn't buy it fair and square. It doesn't belong to you. Do you know what Yaakov therefore says with his dying breath? Mikna sodeh v'hama'ora asher bo me'ed b'nei chet. You should know this purchase was done not from an individual. I didn't buy it from one man alone without the acquiescence of the entire community. It was bought fair and square legally. And if anybody is ever going to tell you that it doesn't belong to you, you should know. The children, his children, Yaakov wants his children to know for certain and to believe that this belongs to them. So that while Avram is the one who takes the Moras HaMachpelah from stage one to stage two, from the stage of a purchase to the burial place, Yaakov, who's talking to his children, begins with the fact. What is the fact as far as we are concerned? For us, it's the burial place of our fathers. In your relation to the peoples of the world, for them, all that you have to know is that it was purchased fair and square. Mikna hasada, so that exactly what Avram does in this Seder, the opposite is done by Yaakov at the end of Torah. But it's quite clear that Yaakov's concern for Yosef, what it is that he wants Yosef to know, is completely different than what he wants the brothers to know. By Yosef, his concern is that Yosef may see Mitzrayim as a second homeland. He wants Yosef to know, Al notig b'reini b'mitzchayim, don't bury me in Mitzchayim, unasotani b'mitzchayim, carry me out of Mitzchayim. When he speaks to the brothers, he never mentions Mitzchayim at all. Not once. Not once does he say to the brothers, take me out of Mitzchayim. Everything that he says to the brothers is, bury me there, the positive. Because in his educational process, what he wants the children to know, the brothers, then he wants to accentuate the positive. It is with regard to Yosef that he wants to accentuate the negative of Mitzrayim. Get me out of Mitzrayim. I want to be out. I just wanted to read the Malbim here.
Rambam says that when Yaakov speaks to his children, so he says, bury me with my fathers, El Hamaora Shebestei Ephraim, the cave that is in the field of Ephraim. Ubashe Yuchaliot, because it can be, Sha'aton Nishkach Shem Ephraim, it's possible already by the time the children of Yaakov, the name Ephraim had been, who are the owner, the original owner, has been forgotten. V'lo yadu mekoma, it's very possible that they no longer know the place. Siyem mitzorea, I mean, he's dealing with people who may not know anymore. So he has to tell them what the boundaries are. Bama ora asher b'sidei ha-machpelah, the cave that is in the field of the Machpelah, siman ha-makom, he tells them the place. Asher al-pnei mamre, siman ha-mechoz v'ha-ir. Mamre is the borough, the part of the city, the shchuna. As we had pointed out at the beginning, Chevron had many shchunot, and there were people living from different peoples living in the area of Hebron. Be'eretz Knan, Siman HaMedina tells them what country it's in, because they have to know it. For the brothers who are coming from Yitzchayim, they have to know that this isn't the Eretz Knan. Asher Kona, that he had purchased, V'lo Toma Shalo Kona Rakat HaMa'ora Lig B'bol Lefisho. Don't think that it was only a temporary burial spot that he bought. Because Avram had to purchase this from the Bnei Chet, from all of the people who were there. And therefore, he purchased it, La'achuzat Keva, so that they knew that this is exactly... I mean, you know, they know, or they have to know, by virtue of the fact that what's taking place here in the Sedra is quite clear to everybody. He wants to bury Sarah there. That's why all of these negotiations are going on. Shama, over there he had buried Avram and Sarah. Harei Shahoya HaKinyan Lachuzat Keva, the acquisition of the land was for a burial place. Lo Lemeit Echad Bilvad, not simply temporarily to bury Sarah there. And then with the generations, there they buried Yitzchak, and there they buried Rivka, and there they buried Leah. And then, of course, Mikna Hasadev Amoram Eiz B'nei Eiz. That last pasuk is Shekulam Hiskimu V'davar. Everybody agreed to it. So that it means Yaakov wanted his children to know precisely where and why, because the purpose of it all, and this is also pointed out by the Meir Simcha, the Meshech Chochma, in a very famous piece in Parashat Bechukotai, where he says that the very fact that Yaakov wanted to be buried there because he wanted his children for all generations, they should always know that's the place where Jews are supposed to go. He didn't want that Eretz Yisrael should be forgotten from them. Let's say the following. There's a great deal more, even as you go through the Parashiot in Sefer Bereshit. You're going to see Chevron and the Ma'arat HaMachpelah is going to be mentioned time and time again by the burial, the death of Yitzchak. Death of Yitzchak. I'm just going to read a pasuk in Parashat Vayishlach. Vayavo Yaakov Yitzchak Aviv. Yaakov, when he finally makes that journey all the way back, Yaakov came to his father Yitzchak. Mamre Kiryat HaArba. He Chevron. He came to Mamre. Now do you hear this? Mamre, one section of the city, Kiryat Arba. He Chevron. Asher Gorsho Avram Yitzchak. That Avram Yitzchak had lived there. When it says that Yaakov comes home, it doesn't say Kiryat Arba. Mamre Kiryat Arba. He Chevron, which is in the land of Canaan. In the land of Canaan, we only hear in this parsha, in Parsha of Chayesora, and when Yaakov says it again at the end of Torah. Here in this parsha it is, because that was the great sacrifice that Avram Avinu had to make. He had to give up for a time, he had to give up his rights to Yerushalayim in order that he should be able to bury Sarah in Hebron. I don't know if you read Mariv. If you don't read Ma'ariv, there's a lot of good reason why not to read Ma'ariv or Yediot
or Haaretz or all of the rest. But I get Mariv on Friday because there's a fella called Shmuel Schnitzer who writes on the editorial page of Mariv. Me, Shalokara, Shmuel Schnitzer, whoever that hasn't read Shmuel Schnitzer, hasn't read a great writer. His article this past Friday, well, I'm not even going to try and really fully describe the article, but what it really comes down, the bottom line, what it really comes down to is anybody who thinks that they're going to be able to uproot Kiryat Arba and Hebron and Moras HaMachpelah from the consciousness of the Jewish people is making a tragic mistake. 2,000 years of Jewish children learned Chumash, never having seen Hebron or Kiryat Arba. We talked about it, we learned about it, we imagined in our mind's eye exactly what took place over here. And by the way, the whole beginning of the Sedra over here, it just makes Kiryat Arba and Hebron such a part of consciousness. Anybody who thinks that with any of their agreements they're going to be able to undo something that is part of the Neshama of Klal Yisrael is making a terrible mistake. We came back here after 2,000 years because of that Chumash, and we're going to keep learning. Many Jews are going to continue learning that Chumash throughout all of history. And you can't go through Chumash. You'll go later on through Tanakh and you'll come to Hebron. Oh, what goes on in Tanakh about Hebron? There is absolutely no way to uproot what Hebron, Kiryat Arba, and Moras HaMachpelah is. And I can't help, I get so terribly aggravated when you hear Jews speaking about it as though it has absolutely no significance and no meaning, and everybody else has rights there, and sort of we don't have rights, and what are we doing there? So the message, his optimistic message of hope is that which emerges from the Chumash is going to remain into eternity. You'll never be able to uproot Hebron or Kiryat Arba or Maorat HaMachpelah from the consciousness of the Jew, and if so, we will always have a claim to it. Okay. Anyway, so I will be off for 2 weeks. Rabbi Macy Gordon is going to be here. Oh yeah, that's right, that's right. Yeah, yeah.
Yaakov being buried in Eretz Israel.
Yeah.
Of course, that when Yaakov is referred to as Yaakov, he's weak.
Yes.
And we refer to as Israel, he's strong.
Well, I'm not ready to agree anything yet until you tell me what
you
have
to do. I'll get to it.
All right.
It doesn't matter. You worry not.
Yeah.
Nice. Very good, Rabbi. Yes, when you arrive safely, put that in the box.
Okay.
See you.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. Rabbi David.
How are you?
I hope I didn't schlep you out over here. I'm going to sleep on the plane too. There are going to be others. I know another few more Torontonians that are going to be on the plane. The Seidenfelds, Gary is here. You know Gary Seidenfeld?
Yes, sure.
Gary's here now?
Yeah.
They're
coming on Aliyah.
That's
yes.
What I thought. Yeah.
Absolutely. No. He sold his business already. He's coming. They were looking for a house. Yeah.
Very good.
I'm sorry.
No, I just want to thank you for the share.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll see. We'll see if I can get
this.
Yeah. Okay, we'll see.
They said no.
Yesterday,
wait, no,
I'm going to bring it back.
That's okay. Right, I missed the snow.
Missed the snow? Okay. Don't forget your
That's what I use.
Absolutely.
You know, and they don't get me, and they walk away from me.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you know that Mekiana's brother-in-law moved to Hebron?
Yes, I know all about it. I know him very well.
Did you hear it on the radio?
No, I didn't hear it on the
English
radio.
English knew the answer to questions, and someone said that they wished him the Prime Minister.
And I'm trying to
figure out how do we get to go to Hebron for a Shabbat?
This Shabbat is
not. I know.
And
I called about that.
Do I go to Flyer or Levin Filter?
Yes.
I went to hear about Beresin and he said, well, you know, Tanya knows what he's doing. But it's terrible. Why don't we emphasize this?
It sounds like my wife now. Right? It sounds like my wife.
Oh, how's your wife?
Thank God she's okay.
I'll give her a go.
She's just been working very hard getting everything ready for us to go.
You're going to stay.
Yeah.
For you okay. To hate, come right. Back home, so you're going to hate.
Well, it's true.
You're right. I agree.
Why don't they do anything about it? Why don't we hear? Why do we always...
Like my wife. You ask me rhetorical questions that I can't answer.
I said to her, why do we ever enforce us to make concessions? What about them? Who can say so? I don't know.
Leave me out.
Okay.
So there's a connection in the register between the Hebrew, the Hebrew rights to the Maya, and the Maya, 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 the
Maya, the Maya, the Maya,
the
yeah. Yeah.
The period had ended, yeah. And Medrash even though it was over, it seems there's a Medrash there that says that they sort of had a sign on the outside
like
of Yerushalayim with the promise that Avraham had made. They had a big sign.
A lot of places to stay,
and David sent his men, get the sign down and move into the.
I lived there 20 years.
But they,
you know,
the agreement that Avraham had to make. Okay. Good. We'll see you, fellas. Let's go. Yeah. Be well. Thank you very much. We'll see you. Yes, Hashem.
Don't give you too long. Okay. We started yeshiva a year and a half ago, almost 2 years ago in Kibbutz Rachel. The government wasn't crazy about it, but they gave us tents in the army. We had in the courtyard, we had the yeshiva. We wanted to put up a permanent building outside in the courtyard. They said, no, we have to come take a look at it. It took months and months. Tochanan Parat, who was involved with this, that tell the government July 1st we're putting up the yeshiva. With the issue about the issue, if it's about the issue, the labor ministry.
With what? With what? You think I didn't
get give the issue.
Issue.
Then get credit for it. Two days later, the Ministry of Religion put out a press release for the so crowded in Kibbutz Rachel. They're expanding it, putting up a building. They put up a building, the first Jewish building to go up in 150 years in Beit Lechem. 5 months ago, we did this with the old government. The boys in the yeshiva called me up one day. The army's coming to take apart the building. What should we do? They went down. He says, don't worry. We want to take part in the caravan outside in the street. The yeshiva goes on. What they're doing, they're knocking out the walls around Kibbutz Rachel, making archways.
Mm-hmm.
They're expanding the walls to the courtyard, the wall courts up on it. We want to put a second floor on. The Ministry of Defense gave $6 million for this project. They don't have enough money to put a second floor on. If you don't do it now, you'll never be able to do it. You put up the outside wall, something, no money for it, no taxes. So we're trying to raise money for a second floor. Like the arena and the concert route.
Oh, yeah, that's fine. There you go.
Okay. Arabs have approached us to buy their property. There's property right across the street from Kibbutz Rachel, which was originally Jewish property. Next door to Kibbutz Rachel is property as well. Hamas is coming in.
Hamas is doing all, there's a lot of construction going on.
Yeah. It's a mess.
and dozens of articles about the Lechem, all from the Arabs, all from their side. A little thing that we put in from Kev Rachel. We thought we'd be the only person there for Kev Rachel, but they're there. It's theirs and everything else, and how terrible the Jews are treating them, and that's what the world sees. So there are websites, so there's like a dozen websites they have, and the different fantastic headlines they have. To try to go into each one, nothing there. Nothing behind it. They just give a nice show that, look what's happening. What else? In order to raise money, we have an idea of collecting the names of every Rachel in the world. Every Rachel is named after Rachel Imenu, either directly or indirectly. There's a Russian bookmaker, bookbinder, something else.
You're out of America for a while.
Bookbinder from Russia, who made for us a volume this large. Beautiful leather bounds as the book of Rachel in Hebrew and English, and received hundreds and hundreds of names already. Rachel's from all over the world that we're inscribing. Who they are, where they're from. And also this brings in money for the yeshiva, we call them. What else?
The question is what I can do. Yeah.
Which talks about Rachel Imenu, Kev Rachel, like to have it in official Shabbat all over the world, to have rabbis address themselves to Beit Lechem, to Rachel Imenu, and have some sort of appeal or something in shuls. When you have pages, this is a good material for you to read.
I'm going to read it, I'm going to find it, take it along with me.
It gives you all the proposals of what we want to do. The organization that you're with all the rabbis throughout the world, whatever, is there hundreds or thousands, I'm not sure how many you have, to get them involved with this. If it's possible to get the RCA, the OU, Young Israel to get them behind this campaign.
Well, so let me at least tell you, the heads of the of Young Israel are coming this week.
Right.
And I told you.
Yeah. I told you.
You told me? No, yeah. I told you that. You then told me Herschel Schechter is coming. Right. And then as I walked out of the house to get into the car to come to this year, my wife yells to me from the window that somebody's on the phone to tell me that Herschel Schechter is not coming. Yossi Friedman.
Uh-huh.
Because I called, after you spoke to me, I called Yossi Friedman, you know, if Herschel Schechter is coming. So I don't know this whole story of the rabbis that are supposed to be coming. I don't have a clue
maybe
what it's all about.
Maybe it's from maybe coming. That's what I heard in the news.
That's right. People told me if they heard it on the news. So I checked it out immediately after I saw it.
I guess not.
All right. I'll have to figure out what to do.
Let's get the schools involved with the names of Rachel. I have a flyer in here that talks about it.
All right.
And also, we have a website. I think it's written here. The name of the website. Anyone can go into it and pick out the literature that we...
With Aaron Adler.
No.
Rabbi Aaron Adler of Ramot is the president of the Young Israel Rabbis in Eretz Yisrael. We have an organization. There's an organization of Young Israel Rabbis here. Both those who are retired and those who are in the active. A few of us are active. And he is one of the active. The CA has its own.
I'm not sure what the RCA can do here for.
No, you're right, but some can. No, there are some people here
in order to get this project for the Shabbat, has to come from the state.
From the state?
Yeah.
All right, so you have over here, for example, Rabbi Schaffman. If you speak to Zalman Schaffman, he can most highly help you to see how to get through to the RCA in America. But he still remains one of the respected rabbis in America. I mean, a few people here that are real resources. Zalman Schaffman, Shimreish Peymenu.
And Aaron Adler.
Aaron Adler.
If I can get it, I'll try to catch you.
Yeah, I mean, these are people who are active in his organization. I'm going to be in Toronto. I will be meeting with a number of the rabbis here. But you know, you've got to keep pushing. I mean, so you know what kind of job it is.
If I do part time.
What is your full time?
I market a novelty item in Israel.
You what?
I market a novelty item in Israel.
What?
I sell clean chickens.
Oh, that you're still with the clean chickens?
Yeah. People eat.
You've been doing that for years.
Yeah.
And that gives you a panosa?
Gives me overdraft.
We all have overdraft.
Yeah.
So this is a big mitzvah. Okay.
Have a good day.
Yeah.
Be well.
Yeah.